like to thank everybody for attending the post-fight press conference. Thought it was a great night of fights. Tonight, before we go into the fighters and bring the fighters out, I'd like to introduce somebody that's going to be heading our UK operations and our European expansion. We've been talking about the 10-fight series we're going to produce in Europe, and we're going to be opening office there in the next 30 to 40 days and hiring a whole new staff. And our, I think we announced Drew Samuels as matchmaker, Paolo Bugatti as our head of production, and our head of operations and our executive that will be running the office there and spearheading the initiative in Europe is Mr. David Green. David, come on up.
Well, thank you, Scott, and hello, everybody. And very excited, I have to say, to be starting this new chapter of Bellator in Europe. I mean, I've worked with Scott for many years, and I've known him for many years, and I've worked with him for quite a bit of time on some co-promotions in the UK, and I've always admired his promotion, and I think he's always exciting, and I'm looking forward to bringing that flavour into the UK and Europe. We're going to start off next year, and I think this decision by Bellator to invest in the region is hugely significant. It's what the fans need, it's what the fighters need, and it's really going to be a special time. So obviously we're a few days in, so not so much information at the moment, but we'll have lots more coming up for you soon in terms of dates, locations and everything else. But what you can guarantee is there'll be some really high quality, great events across Europe in 2019.
You know what? I thought the fights really delivered tonight, and our new partnership with DAZN launched this evening. And I think from top to bottom, it was a great fight, night of fights. And I had some really, really favorite moments in the night. One was Rampage and Vanderlei. That was an amazing battle, man. You guys brought it. But, without DAZN, this wouldn't be possible. We have Mr. James Rushton, the CEO of DAZN. I'd like to have him come up and say a few words about the evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. I'll be quick because I appreciate the fighters are here and you want to be speaking to them. I just want to say a big thank you to Scott, the team, the fighters, to fill the venue, to put on a great show for our first main show with the guys in Bellator. We're really pleased. It was a huge success for us. All the social media sentiments and all the comments were very positive about the quality of service. The numbers are good. We won't have the final numbers for a few more days, but the indicative numbers are very good, so we'll leave here very pleased. And again, just a big thank you to Scott and all the team. Thanks, guys.
So we're going to bring the fighters up? Yeah. Vanderlei Silva, please come up. Rampage Jackson, Lima, Pico. At this point, why don't we just open it up for questions? We actually had an offer from a Russian television company and a Russian promoter to do something there. We're is it imminent this year? Probably not, because we're so busy with so many fights. But going into next year, I think that it is possible. As you guys know, there's some great fighters over there, and we'd like to tap into some of the talent, and we'll see. But it's something for this year is going to be impossible. Yeah, and honestly, when I think about Fedor, whatever happens in his next fight, or if he wins, going to the next fight, it would be something that would be, I think, a dream that, he would end his career fighting in Russia. So that's something that we would talk to him about, win or lose, in October or in January. But that just has a very nice ring to it.
Scott, now that Gegard has beaten Rory for the... to defend the title. Is Lovato Jr. next? Is that next for Gegard, do you think?
I mean, that's the fight that Gegard said he wanted when I was in the ring with him. He also said he wanted to fight Machida. And, we'll give us a day or two, but, I think Lovato is right up there. I think he's, one of the top contenders to fight Gegard. And, maybe we'll put that fight together, because I know Gegard wants to fight right away. If he could fight in the next 3-4 months, I think he'd want to do it.
Gave Pico a big test against an 18-4 fighter tonight. Can you assess his performance?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, it's like watching lightning. You know, it's so impressive because the amount of pressure that Aaron puts on his opponents, and the amount of firepower he has, and the skill he has standing up, you know, striking, going down, getting up. I mean, he can fight at all different, you know, levels. So he's extremely dangerous, as you guys can see, because he fought a guy that was a title contender. This guy was no joke, and, you know, I think Aaron picked him apart and then, you know, took it to him quite easily. So I think that says a lot about him and his ability. But, you know, when Bob Cook called us, you know, about 3 years ago, I think it was about 3 years ago, huh? And, you know, I went to watch him wrestle and was impressed because he's so explosive, and we made an understanding that when he got through with the Olympic bid and Olympic trials and the bid to the Rio, then he would go into MMA, and I think he's done an amazing job, and I think the future's very bright for him.
For Aaron, right after the fight, it seemed like you kind of called out Patricio Pitbull, who was in Higo's corner. What exactly happened there at the end?
No, all I said was, your time is coming. It's true. It's a new generation of fighters, young fighters, and the clock is ticking down for him. And every day that he goes and trains, there's a guy like me just waiting to get a shot at him and take his belt. That's just how it goes.
How soon do you think is realistic for a title fight like that?
To be honest with you, it's really not up to me. My whole job is just to progress as a fighter. That's so important to me right now. I'm very young in my career. I have a lot of things to work on. Like I said, it's not being the best fighter doesn't happen overnight. It takes many years. But all I can do is progress and take each fight as they come. That's my job.
I'm just last for Scott. There was some issue, I guess, on Channel 5 in the UK where it went off the air before the main event. Can you explain what happened there?
Hey, you know what? I know that it was actually Dave Schwartz, you can come
up. A government regulation that at 6 a.m. That content was not suitable, so they had to switch to children's programming. Peppa the Pig, yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, guys, that's a hiccup, but you know what? We will definitely fix that moving forward. And, you know, honestly, you know, we thought that we would be way off the air before the three-hour mark, and it just didn't happen, and, you know, we ran over, and, you know, Peppa the Pig took over, and that's what happened.
Question for Gegard. Congratulations. In the fight, you used the jab, and it was a lot of shots that were coming straight down the middle. Was that the plan from the beginning, that you saw that Rory's a little bit open and available for that jab?
Yeah, I knew I was faster. Game plan was to keep it to straight punches, no hooks, and hurt him and make him come and maybe put pressure on him for him to shoot and take over. So actually, the fight went pretty much the way we planned.
So there were no surprises from Rory tonight?
No, because once I was jabbing, it was surprising that he didn't do much, but he didn't punch that much. I think I was the more active fighter. I thought he was lighter, he would do more.
Question for Rampage. Right here. And you were going for knees in this fight. Was that kind of poetic that you was trying to finish Vanderlei with the knees that he finished you with back in the day?
My first fight with Vanderlei, he kneed me in the face like 14 times. So, yes, I was trying to knee him. I was trying to, with everything I had, to knee him. But, you know, you got to give you got to give Vanderlei respect, man. He wouldn't let me knee him. Like, come on, Vanderlei, let me knee you. Damn, I owe you.
The series is now 2-2. Are you thinking about a fifth fight?
Honestly, I wasn't thinking about a fifth fight because last time I beat Vanderlei, he dropped weight classes. It's a dream come true that he comes up to heavyweight, because I thought, like, God, I'm too fat to fight Vanderlei now. But, you know, he came up to heavyweight, which means he's a true soldier. And after the fight, he said, you know what, we 2-2. He said, now somebody's got to be the victor, you know what I'm saying? He said it. So he surprised the hell out of me. So I'm down with the fifth fight. But I don't know if Scott is down with the fifth fight. But I'm down for the fifth fight.
Scott, Are you down with the fifth fight?
Call me next week. Let's have another conversation.
And question for Douglas. It was a grind in that fight with Korsakov, and it seemed like, you know, he tried to wear you down. Were you surprised with his tactics, or did you kind of expect him to come out and try to wrestle you?
I kind of expected, yeah. He, you know, he took a lot of damage from the leg kicks in the last fight, so he already started softball. Didn't really surprise me. I thought he would, you know, do something different for the leg kicks. But, yeah, didn't wear me down. You know, I was good. I was in good condition, and we got the job done, so... on to the next.
Scott, Gareth Edobis from the UK. Just following up on Peppa Pig. quite a serious issue, really, for a lot of fans who got up 3 in the morning. Yeah. You know, they watched till 6 a.m., it cut off, Peppa Pig came on, there were no arm bars, anything like that. But in seriousness, is there a way of replaying the event for fans? That's what people are asking. Obviously, there's this Ofcom ruling, as we call it, that 6 a.m. has to cut off. It's the watershed. But is there a way of replaying the event, maybe on Channel 5, that we can tell the fans in the UK? And is there a way of ensuring that it can switch over to another channel if that does happen in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I think about the replay, Gareth, I think that we could probably work it out. But, you know, it's 6 in the morning on a Sunday there. And, you know, we won't be able to work this up probably until Monday or Sunday our time, Monday their time. But we are working on it. Believe me, when it switched over, there was a lot of text going back and forth, and they all were not friendly. So, you know, we're working on it. We were trying to fix it. We thought it was a technical glitch, but it wasn't. It was a governmental issue. So, but I can promise you, you know, the next time it's not going to happen. I mean, we will keep it down to 5 fights instead of 6, and like we normally do, and try to over deliver for the fans, and you know we just ran over. It's an unfortunate situation.
Thank you. And finally, I mean, you talked about this being probably in the top couple of cards that had ever been put together in your tenure as a promoter of mixed martial arts. Do you feel it delivered tonight? And do you feel that we are going into a new era now with mixed martial arts and with Bellator?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at the talent up here. I mean, there is amazing legends up here. There's some, you know, the next generation, and there's solid, you know, like champions that, like Lima has been the champion before. But if you look at the talent up here and just the history of the fights that, you know, Vanderlei and Rampage has had, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, the roster that we have is nothing like the roster we had 4 years ago, and we're going to keep building and keep building. And you know, we're gonna just keep doing our own thing. And it's not against any other league or this, honestly, because I feel like you need to have two leagues to have a healthy industry. And what I mean by that is, what if we weren't here? There's only one buyer in the marketplace, right? Then they're not gonna get paid what they get paid. So at the end of the day, you need two leagues. You know, this is a company that's owned by Viacom. It's a healthy company. It loves being in the fight business. And, you know, we're going to continue putting on great fights and bringing the best fighters in the world here and also growing the best talent in the world here.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Brent.
Quick question. Do you know if did Rory make a decision not to come to the press conference, or did he have to leave for medical reasons?
I don't know. Does anybody know if Rory's hurt or if he just didn't want to come? Okay, so he's on his way to the hospital right now.
Okay.
And I think Krishkov is already at the hospital right now.
It's probably too early to tell, but yeah, I mean, Rory has a history with that nose. Was there any update in terms of any injury he suffered?
There was nothing. I wasn't told anything before I came in here, but we'll have an update shortly, I'm sure, before, you know, we all get out of here.
Okay.
Hopefully.
And then, you know, obviously Aaron was a standout tonight. What do you think, how quickly do you want to move him? I mean, he just took out a title contender in one round, but, you know, he's also very young and he's only got 5 fights. I mean, how do you approach his next fight?
You know, I'll tell you, but he has 5 fights, but, you know, he has how many, you know, wrestling matches, how many boxing matches, how much training hours. I think you have to take that all into consideration, because if you didn't, there's no way Aaron would be fighting Hugo, who he fought today, because his record has probably, you know, 5 times more fights than Aaron has. So it's not just about the record, but I do feel that, you know, this was a test for him. I think he definitely passed the test with flying colors. And we'll set the next challenge up for him. But, you know, to do that today, I think it's tough. I think that, you know, I'd like to have him go back, and we'll talk to his coaches and his management, and then we'll figure out the next step.
Aaron, I'm curious, if you go back to the locker room, you have a trainer in there, Freddie Roach, who's just seen every type of athlete, and he's you know, helped orchestrate guys through their careers before. What does he tell you after a win like that?
Yeah, I just say good job. You look good. But yeah, it was great to have Freddie in the locker room and in the corner. I spent a lot of time at Wild Card. You know, usually after fights, I'm back in the boxing club just trying to, you know, keep my skills up. And it was really cool to have him, a legend like that in your corner. Something I always remember.
One thing that stuck out to me, at least, about the fight was just the level of composure you had. Once you heard him, you did not really rush anything. I mean, can you talk about just how comfortable you feel, especially in a moment like that where you do have a guy hurt?
Yeah, that's the whole conversation my coach and I, Antonio, had. All my fights is just relax. I mean, obviously you guys saw the first one. I just rushed in there. So yeah, that's for me, I just need to relax in there. Use my skills. I have everything. I can take him down. I can stand on my feet. But yeah, there's more risk by me rushing in. So I just need to take my time. I have 15 minutes and the fight went a little bit longer than my last one. So I got some more experience. So it was just a good night.
And then quick one for you, Kerry. Just give you a chance to talk about your fight and specifically, you know, her game plan seemed to be just unique in that she really just wanted to hold on to you and pull you to the ground, pull guard. It seemed like that was something that she was focusing on the whole time. Was that a surprise to you at all when you got in there?
It definitely was a little surprise to me, and I was surprised that she was pretty strong, but I came out a little flat, and I've been fighting a sickness. So I was just happy to make it through today.
Question for Aaron. So Higos before the fight said that he was your first real test, but that never really seemed to have wavered your confidence. Why did your confidence just stay there? Like, why is it so strong?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying this was the biggest test of his career. That's what I was saying to my team. He's never fought a guy like me. He's never fought a wrestler like me. Guy that can hit as hard as me. So I knew it was a big test for me, but I also was telling everybody it's the biggest test of his career. Once everybody says they're going to do this, they're going to try to get me to the ground and do it, but once you feel my power, it's on a whole different level. And if I wanted to take him down, I could take him down at any time, but my confidence just goes back to my training. You know, I have good training partners, great coaches, and I knew it was. A lot of people are like, "Oh, it's a big test," and yeah, absolutely, it's a big test. But I knew I had it within me to get the job done, and I did.
Thank you. And question for Douglas: Khrushchev before the fight said that he believed that you and him were the two toughest competitors in the tournament. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like you took out your toughest competitor in the tournament tonight?
Definitely, Khrushchev is the man. Definitely the toughest, you know, fighter. One of the toughest fighters I've ever fought. You know, and I said it before the fight, you know, to beat him, you got to put him out. You got to put him to sleep, break something, because the guy just won't tap. You know, he won't stop fighting. And he showed it tonight. You know, all my respect to him. You know, just a tough fighter.
Thank you. And one last one for Gegard. Here over here. How important was it for you to establish the jab early on? Do you think that is what eventually made him shoot for that takedown at the second round, in the second round?
Yeah, it's very important, I think. But I was expecting him to come with a good game plan because I jab a lot. So I was expecting like a right counter or anything. But I think the speed was a lot for me. And I think I don't know. It went well.
Vanderlei, regarding your fighting at heavyweight, how does that affect your speed, your stamina, your knockout power? Is this a better weight class for you, or would you feel more comfortable somewhere else, like a 205 maybe?
Well, I feel a little bit the size. He's like a 30 pounds heavier than me, and I stop him. I don't fight him for a year and a half. This is not an excuse. He's doing good tonight. No, we're doing good. I hope the fans like it, but I want to be more busy. I want to fight as soon as I can. I'm going to do better next time.
For Scott, regarding Gegard, he requested additional testing to face Lyoto Machida. How do you make that happen as a promoter?
Well, I think that, you know, it's been our policy that we go with the rules and the regulations of the State Athletic Commission. And so, you know, I know that if it was here in California, Annie Foster would start testing him. And believe me, their testing procedure is pretty in-depth. I mean, when we signed Chael, Chael had 5 tests he had to pass before he was allowed to fight and compete. So it depends. Like, if we're in another state, then we'll go by the guidelines. If we end up going international, then Mike Mazzulli and the Morgan Sun Commission will do the testing for us at that time. But, you know, these athletes are tested, and Machida will be tested.
Regarding the tournaments, McDonald is expected to be in the welterweight tournament. I guess it all depends on how fast he heals from tonight. So is that still happening, or do you have an alternate already picked?
No, I mean, you know, we'll wait for Roy to see how he feels. But, you know, his fight probably wouldn't be until February or March. Probably February, late January, early February of next year. But we expect him to compete and be in the tournament. Look, his fight with Gegard, he had nothing to lose, everything to gain. You know, now he can focus back on cutting weight, getting back down to 170, and fighting in his proper weight class, and getting ready for the tournament.
And speaking of alternates, does Rampage's win tonight put him as maybe a backup fighter for the heavyweight tournament again?
Well, I mean, what do you think, Rampage?
I'm gonna stay in shape, Scott. You know, I'm very disappointed that I lost that in that tournament. No disrespect to Chael, because honestly, I've been thinking about that. It really bothered me. I don't know. I know you guys don't know me that well, what type of person I am, what type of mind I got, but it really bothers me that Chael outsmarted me, because I trained wrestling really hard when I fought him. The loss is all mine, but when we trained for Chael, my advice was after 13 seconds, he's going to shoot, and he outsmarted me by standing up with me, and that's my type of fight. I like standing up with motherfuckers. I'm a fucking wrestler. But I like standing up. Chael outsmarted me, and I was disappointed. I thought I was going to win that tournament. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was going to take everybody. So, yeah, I'm going to stay in shape. If somebody get hurt, I won't back in. But if anything else, I want the winner of the tournament. I want to get the heavyweight belt, because my boxing coach, Bobby Rimmer, said that he never had a heavyweight boxing champion. He never trained a heavyweight champion. I'm heavyweight now. Until I fix my thyroid, I'm going to be a heavyweight. Then I'm going to fix my thyroid, because that's a fight, too. What you guys need to know about life is a fight. And me having a bad thyroid, it's a fight. And I'm going to win that fight. I'm going to fix my thyroid out, and hopefully I get back down to 205. But for now, I'm a heavyweight. I want the heavyweight belt. Whoever wins that belt, I want to fight them. I want to win it. I want that heavyweight belt. So either I get back in the tournament, somebody get hurt, or if Scott permits, whoever wins the belt, let them be champion for a little bit. Let them face me. I don't care if it's a wrestler, stand up, whoever. I'm gonna beat them. I'm gonna win that belt, the heavyweight belt. That's what I want. I got great sparring partners. Come on, stand up, man. That guy right there. Hey, I'm gonna tell you, that guy right there. I dedicate my win to Vanderlei, to that guy right there. He studied Vanderlei, and he got it. Any sparring partner, he can. Any fighter, he can act just like him. You need that. It's hard to find sparring partners like that. Vanderlei is a very difficult opponent to train for. Vanderlei is one of the best at what he does. If I can beat Vanderlei tonight, I can beat anybody. I'm telling you guys. I want to win that belt. I want to win a heavyweight belt.
And just to clarify, you know, Roy Nelson has the first position on the alternate. So
what?
Yes, sir. But maybe we could. Well, yeah. Well, you know what, guys?
Roy called me out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. His fat ass called me out on Twitter. I will fuck Roy fat ass up.
And a final question for Douglas Lima. Your fight, I think, on the main card was the only one that got a lot of boos, I guess, from the fans, and it had a lot to do with Koreshkov's strategy of pushing against the cage and doing a lot of defensive grappling. By the time a few rounds had gone by, 3 rounds at least, did you feel that extra sense of urgency to, you know, sort of get a quick finish, because that could have potentially gone on for 5 rounds?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the style of fight. You know, he was trying to make me tired, clinch a lot, but what can I do? You know, I don't know what to say. You know, people boo, you know, when he's not excited, but man, he's a tough guy right there. You know, you can't give him any chance. You know, any mistake you make, he'll knock you out. You know, it goes both ways. He was being very careful. And, you know, end of the day, I got the finish. You know, that's what I'm here to do, finish fights. You know, I believe now I hold the record of most finishes, you know, in my division. So just one step forward.
Scott, is it possible that you'll put Pico back in by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it is possible. I think that I don't think he took a lot of damage in the fight, and you know, I know he goes right back into the gym, so you know, we'll definitely have that conversation. But that's a Monday conversation.
Gegard, obviously you've had some signature victories along your career. Does this feel like one, or are you feeling like maybe some people will try to take something away from it by saying you defeated a smaller man?
Well, Kevin Gastelum is fighting for the UFC middleweight championship. GSP came and he fought Michael Bisping. So, of course, they're going to say I beat a welterweight, but I don't care.
Yeah, I have a question for Rampage. First of all, what is that nice beverage that you're drinking that looks pretty fancy?
Well, this is Honesty Hour. I think this is 50 Cent's brand right here. Me and 50, we had a little beef before. And he gave me a bottle of champagne for winning this fight. I really needed this win. I'm not going to lie to you guys. This win meant a lot to me. And since 50 sent this bottle of champagne to my locker room after the fight, I'm no longer upset with him about that bullshit he was saying a couple months ago. So I was going to challenge 50 to a fight until he sent me this champagne.
Well, my other question is, you and Silva have gone back and forth. I've watched you guys as far back as Pride, and you know, you guys went to the UFC, everything, you're here finally, and is it like Groundhog Day to keep seeing the same guy, and it's the same, and it's always a different outcome? You try to change it, like, this time I don't want to wake up at the same place. You know, yeah, right?
I feel you. Listen, we fought all the biggest shows, me and Vanley. How many other fights can say that? We had two wars in Pride. We had one war in UFC, and now one war in Bellator. Vanley and I, we old school. Like, when we gone, you're not going to have us anymore. You know what I'm saying? I have an 18-year-old son that wanted to fight, so I don't know what type of fighter he's going to be like. He's actually, I think he's going to be a better fighter than me. He's southpaw. I don't know if he's going to fight my style, but just saying that, he's going to be the next Rampage. But he might not be. He might fight like John Jones. He might look up to people like that. He might fight like Antonio McKee's son, AJ McKee. You know what I'm saying? Who knows what he's going to fight like? You know what I'm saying? He likes slamming people and stuff like that. But just saying that, I think you guys should enjoy fighters like me and Vanderlei, even though we're older and we still putting it down and we still entertaining you guys. A lot of fans, like, I notice a lot of fans, like, disrespect, like, older fighters. Like, we still love this sport. This is the best fucking sport, guys. You know what I'm saying? Because we're just like you guys. Everybody, almost everybody has been in a fight before. Almost everybody has been in a fight before. If you haven't never been in a fight, then I feel sorry for you. You know what I'm saying? This is the type of fights that you guys probably been in where, you know, everybody's never been in a boxing fight. Everybody been into a fight where it's kind of like this, where you go to the ground or you hit a guy, you elbow him, you knee him, you know what I'm saying? That's a real fight. And we are here to entertain you guys, you know what I'm saying? I just wish more American fans would respect us. Like, Vanley and I, we come from fighting in Japan where the fans show so much respect. And I'm going to tell y'all something, and I'm keeping it real when I say this. Bellator is taking over. And you know what I'm saying? Bellator is doing a lot of good things. I'm on the outside looking in, even though I'm inside Bellator. I've been fighting all the biggest shows around the world, and I know a lot of shit that y'all don't see. The first fight is always with the promoter. When you finally get a promoter that understands fighting, and they understand, like, Scott, he understands fighters, he understands fighting, and I see a lot of moves that he make. Like, this is the best show, you know what I'm saying? UFC may wear the crown for right now, but they probably won't long. Bellator is the best show. And they put on a lot of great fights. I'm seeing it. You know what I'm saying? We're in the best spot. You know what I'm saying? Vanderlei put on a great fight tonight. He rocked me. And all I ever wanted to do was entertain you guys. That's my job. I won't be here forever. I got a couple more years, maybe. I'm 40 now. I got a couple more years, and maybe. And I'm done. I'm a fight till the wheels fall off. You know what I'm saying? That's for my fans. I love my fans. And I'm happy to say that I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy to put this fight on with Vanderlei.
and I'm drunken the motherfucker.
Yeah, quick question for Rampage here.
Goddamn.
Goddamn. I know, right? You look great today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I train super hard.
I gotta say, you guys are entertaining. Love you guys. This, we can watch this all day long. Great. Been seeing a lot of CBD products from you.
Oh, yeah, they helped me out so much.
That was my question. Given the age and getting older,
yeah.
Does it help you a lot?
I'm going to tell you. Like, I'm one of those people that I have, like, the Peter Pan syndrome. I don't want to grow up. I still play video games. I'm still a big kid. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think because I didn't have a regular childhood like everybody else, but that's a different interview. And I look in the mirror, I see I got gray hair in my fucking beard. I'm like, God damn. You know, it's weird. I'm 40. Like one day I was a kid and I got mad at my parents. And I said, I can't wait till I grow up. And then one day I woke up and I was grown, you know? And now I'm a 40-year-old man. God damn, 40 years old. And my body, you know, I've been fighting for 18 years. My body's not the same, but CBD has really helped me. It helped me a lot. You know, I'm not trying to push anything on anybody. Yes, they sponsored me. I'm keeping it real. Yes, they sponsored me. And I went after them because I didn't want to pay for the shit. And they bought it. They sponsored me, and I'm glad they sponsored me. I just wanted free shit. I ain't gonna lie. Because it works. You know what I'm saying? I take the bath bombs. My black ass ain't got no business being in the motherfucking bathtub. But I do it. I take baths out the training with the bath bombs. I take the little drops. I take the pills every morning. And I've never trained so hard in my life. My coaches were so impressed. And they didn't even know it was because of the CBD oil. Only one of them knew. On Tiki, he the one knew. He's like, hey, it's that CBD. I'm like, yep. I was training hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm surprised Vanderlei lasted two rounds. I thought I was going to take him out in the first round. The CBD is keeping me intact. I got a lot of injuries that I don't never like to talk about. I don't like to tell you guys about my injuries because I feel like fighters like to explore them. But CBD kept me together. It's real.
Question for Carrie. When you heard the scores being read, how confident were you that you got the win?
You know what? I thought I got the win. I was confident I got the win. I'm surprised that it was a split decision. I didn't have the best performance, but I definitely thought I was the winner.
And for Rampage, speaking of Chael earlier, did you ever honor the bet that you guys had?
I'm gonna be honest. Fuck no. I owe Chael 30 grand, but I'm gonna tell you something. The reason why I haven't gave Chael the money yet, because he never put nothing up. So it wasn't really solidified. I'm like, Chael, every takedown you get, I'm gonna give you 10 G's. I'm like, what do I get, motherfucker, if I block all your takedowns? I blocked every takedown except for those fucking weak-ass trips he got me with. But I'm a man of my motherfucking word, but he never put nothing up. What good is a one-way motherfucking bet? I ain't gonna lie. I wanna give him 30 grand, but you know what I did? I went to the strip club three times, and I spent 10 G's each. So that was Chael's motherfucking 30 grand. I put some strippers through college. Y'all laughing, but I'm dead serious. They love me at the strip club.
We love you too.
I don't get lap dances. I'm not a perv. I ain't gonna lie. But I like making it rain. And Chael's money was all in the air.
Hi, I have two questions for Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Congratulations on your win. Was there anything in particular about Dakota's style and her game plan tonight that threw you off, that was very unexpected? Because this is a very close fight.
She was holding on to me pretty tight, and I wasn't really... Yeah, I just think her just, like, holding on to me and not really working that much, like, it did throw me off. And like I said, like I just was pretty tired from being sick.
Your last two fights, of course, were stoppages in the first round. So how did it feel tonight to go the full distance, full three rounds?
I felt great. I almost wasn't going to make it to this fight. So just pulling through and getting the W and going all three rounds and getting all that experience in the cage was crucial for me. So I'm happy about it.
Would you like to fight one more time this year before the end?
I would think about that. If Scott's open to sending me to Hawaii, that's maybe an option.
Awesome. Congratulations, Carrie.
Thank you. Douglas, got a question for you. So you're no stranger when it comes to tournaments, and this is a very stacked division. This is a totally different kind of tournament. You got $1 million on the line, like I said, a stacked division. So is this different than the other tournaments you've been in?
Well, tougher competition, I would say, is the main thing. You know, I'm not even thinking about the money that's involved. You know, I got to focus on these guys. You know, money comes after, you know. But first thing, I got to fight guys that's trained to hurt you, you know. So the focus is on them. And then, go from there. But I'm confident. You know, I won two tournaments before with Bellator. And, planning on this one being the third. So I feel good about it. And can't wait for the next fight.
Aaron, I think this is a question that might come up, or an issue that might come up sooner than later, given your trajectory in this division, and that's the issue of you and AJ. You guys are both, on a parallel path right now. You're both tearing through the division, and I think it's inevitable that people are going to pair you, at least in terms of matchups they'd want to see you. What's your position on that?
Well, I mean, we're not going to fight. I mean, we're his dad's my coach, but that's just something that we're going to have to talk about as a team, and that's for another topic. Right now, I'm just focused on my win, and then we'll talk about that when the time comes. But the bottom line is his dad's my coach. We're training partners, so it's just not going to happen. But that's a question that people are probably going to ask, but that's something that we'll discuss face to face, and then we'll figure it out.
Do you think that one of you might move, like, to accommodate the other?
Yes, we'll see when that time comes.
All right, guys, thank you very much, and we'll see you in New York in 2 weeks.